This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutan is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. What's up?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing all right. Are you out of breath?
I am. You were
sprinting into the luxurious studios you got over there in Eugene.
Yeah. I'm down in Eugene. This is a Eugenie edition of Danny and Dusty.
You really were sprinting.
Because everything got moved up a day because Oregon plays on Friday. I'm usually down here on Wednesday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
This week, it was a Tuesday because of Friday game. And so I just got done recording an interview for our pregame show, and I had to literally sprint from the practice field all the way up to the press box where my studio is.
Hey, but you made it. I'll tell you what, there was some nervous energy coming from me, and I don't know if Russ totally felt it, but there was a lot of like, I have a first segment. Yeah. It's a lot of roasting Will, and I don't know that I want to roast myself.
Okay, that was going to be your opening segment, was just to roast you. I can step away because I know I need to catch my breath at this point.
I was going to get all of the Will Ortner haters on my side, and then I was looking for sympathy points from the Willies. They'd be like, you're okay, it's not that bad. Most best men don't know when the wedding is. It's fine.
Wait, you don't know when the wedding is that you are in, that your brother is in?
It's at 4:30. I don't know where it is.
Is the groom?
No, look, dude, I had this realization last night. I was over at my parents' house. I had gotten my suit ironed, so I was picking it up. And my mom was like kind of giving me a rundown of some things that I needed to do over the next couple of days. And I was like, why do I need to do those things? Like, it's fine. Like, I thought all the wedding was handled. What do you mean? It's like, no, Will, you need to, you know, take care of this, take care of that. It's a party that we're throwing. So then I start thinking about everything and it's like, well, I know when the rehearsal dinner is. I don't know where it is. I know that I have a hotel room. Don't know where the hotel room is. Not exactly sure how many days I have the hotel room.
I'm going to tell you right now, one.
I think it's two.
If it's a local, it's a local wedding?
Local-ish. See, that's the other problem. I don't know where the wedding is. Like, I think it's in Oregon City.
Lord.
I don't know where. No, okay. This is a future Will problem. Like, I have to do a best man speech. That hasn't even been thought about. Look, I will be there. I'm prepared to be there. I know there's something I have to do one morning, but I don't remember which morning. Like, there's things I got to do.
I hope your brother's fiance, future wife, does not like sports radio.
She does not.
Because if she was listening right now, there would be this bride panic that would be going on that I don't know, Will, if you would be able to recover from.
Oh, she's fine. She's not listening to this, and no one should or will tell her, I hope. But I'll tell you what.
That's what you think.
The maid of honor or the bridesmaid, whatever, the best bridemaid, whatever her name is.
Yep. Or matron.
She's on top of it. She has everything nailed down to the minute, so I'm really sloughing off the group work on her, and I'm waiting until I get my A. That's my plan right now.
Your brother.
He's fine.
Your poor brother.
I said he could work out with me on Wednesday. Like, it'll be great. We're fine. We'll figure it out.
You get to work out with me, bro. Let's go.
Yeah, dude, I got extra protein, creatine. We'll be okay.
All right.
I need to figure out where the registry is again.
Yeah.
I still haven't made the wedding purchase.
You haven't gotten him a gift?
I never get. Well, what I do for gift is like I look at the honeymoon and then it's like, ooh, couples massage. And then I just pay for the whole thing.
Well,
that's how I do it.
What you, in being in the bridal party and the responsibilities that come with that and you being, you know, broke. They're not expecting a whole lot from you, Will. I mean, unless Big Will Betts hits a couple parlays over the next couple of days in some baseball action, and maybe the gift does get upgraded a little bit. Who knows?
Look, whatever I'm winning in college football, which is really good, 70%, by the way, I'm giving back in the NFL. They say most gamblers are around 50%. I'm at 50%. Yeah. I'm just really good in one avenue, and I'm really bad on Sundays.
All right. We have the YouTube chat popping off. And Rufio says, the problems of a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
Future will. He said, no one will tell her. I may or may not have just clipped the last 2 minutes.
Rufio won't find her. I don't think she's on Twitter. I should probably. I don't follow her if she's on Twitter.
Everything is tracking right now, Will, because it doesn't seem like you know much of what's going on.
I know that I need to be in certain places at certain times, and I will be at those certain places in certain times. I'm a procrastinator. I was the kid that did all the studying the night before, and it usually turned out well for me. It's like the Seinfeld episode where the bald guy, Costanza, he flips everything, so he says the opposite of what he would do, and then he's up. And then Elaine, she starts going down, and Jerry always stays even. I'm Jerry. I'm even Steven.
You're even Stevens right now.
Everything always comes back to even. Lose $20, find $20.
Oh, I worry for you.
You should.
I do. Because, like, this whole thing with, like, me, like, being your mentor, your radio mentor, now I feel, like, this obligation because you've lumped those responsibilities on me. And I feel like I'm failing, Will. I feel like you're my third kid. You really are my oldest child.
Yeah, I'm your adopted son. But see, like, radio-wise, you're mentoring me pretty well. I'm doing okay, man. Could be a lot worse. I could be doing radio for, like, two people, and we're not doing that.
Yeah, it's like
but
seven.
Life-wise,
you're a work in progress. You are a work in progress.
Yeah. Hey, what's the old saying? Put the bar low enough that you can trip over it. Right
God
now,
bless it.
Right now, I'm high-kneeing over that bar. I'm just trying to high-knee and trip over.
All right. Well, we got a radio show and a lot of stuff going on today. This has been a busy Tuesday, and it's not all football related. We've got MLB. Postseason has officially started.
Your Astros are struggling, dude.
Don't worry. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Don't worry about it.
Did they find the trash cans?
You're
done with trash cans?
No. Yeah.
Big recycling team now?
Yeah. Huge recycling team. Get your stuff together. We got not just the MLB postseason. Look, the Pac-12 has expanded. And it may be one of my favorite victory laps of all time that is happening right now on social media.
Yes, he is going off.
And he deserves to do it, all right? We got a lot of folks that are out there talking about, all right, what does this mean for the Pac-12? What does this mean for the Mountain West? Where do this power struggle that's happening right now, where does it all lie? We are going to go ahead and dive into all of that. We've got a Monday night double dip last night. I don't want to talk about the Titans and the Dolphins. Do we have to do that?
Will Levis had another funny meme. That's your recap right there. We did it. Funny meme, Will Levis.
That was horrific football. Like, when you have the Monday night announcers just doing the... Wow, really good work by our production crew to find highlights to show during halftime. That tells you all you need to know. That tells you all you need to know right there. Tyreek Hill may murder someone.
Yeah, he's very upset. I'll tell you right now, it wasn't Sun Bowl, Pitt, Oregon State, like what, circa 2008 bad?
We could go Red Box Bowl, Oregon, Michigan State, huh? That game's happening this week.
It was real rough. I'll tell you what, I went to my cousin's middle school volleyball game, and I felt like I saw better action than that Monday night football game, the first one. It was more back and forth, and they can't return a serve.
All right, you know what? That was a great summation and rundown of the first Monday night game, Titans-Dolphins. I do want to talk about the Lions and the Seahawks, because that was a doozy. It was a blowout at times, but then the Seahawks made it really interesting, and they are a fun team to watch. Mike McDonald is one heck of a football coach as well. There's a lot that we can parse through with the Seahawks and the Detroit Lions going head-to-head on Monday Night Football. But where we got to start this bad boy off, the Pac-12 expands again. Doesn't help the football cause. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, news today coming from everybody around the sports landscape. The Pac-12 is adding Gonzaga as a member in all sports the school plays starting July 2026. The Pac-12 announced this today. Obviously, this is big news for the Pac-12 because it is the biggest brand and the most viable brand that they have brought in to this point because of what Gonzaga means on the basketball stage and how good and prominent they have a basketball program. It does not help the Pac-12 as it pertains to football, for one. But at the same time, what this is, it's a big move by the conference to bring in Gonzaga because that is a national brand, a national name, and it does instantly give credence to the conference.
Well, it makes you a big-time basketball power. I think I saw somewhere on X, six of the eight member schools made the NCAA tournament last year. Like, that's a big deal. I mean, obviously, as Oregon State, Washington State fans, they want, you know, the Pac-12 to become that Power Five conference. It's never going to be that, especially when it comes to football. But sometimes, if you know your lane and the Pac-12 has decided, hey, our lane is we're going to be a really good basketball conference, there's still value in that. And you might be able to bring a team that they're more of a basketball school, but they still have that football element and continue to elevate yourself and find ways to, you know, still become be relevant and be a player, just albeit in a different avenue instead of football. You're now a player in basketball.
And look, it does. It's what the Big 12 did. The Big 12 saw themselves on the outside looking in and said, fine, we'll just build a basketball power. And we heard about the potential of building the Big 12 and bolstering it in basketball with the addition of UConn. We'll see if that comes to fruition because those talks seem to have stalled. But for now, you look at where the Pac-12 is going to set their sights. They are going to set their sights on Grand Canyon and St. Mary's. Both of those programs have had really good runs, and Grand Canyon, relatively young program, but we saw them in the NCAA tournament this past year. St. Mary's, under Randy Bennett, has been outstanding and consistent in the WCC, but you want to farm your land of being a good basketball conference. Yeah, you add San Diego State, Gonzaga, any combination of St. Mary's or Grand Canyon, and then as you mentioned, Boise State, Colorado State, Washington State, all tournament teams from a year ago as well. They are heading in the right direction as a basketball conference. There's no problem with that. There is not any, because right now what they've done on the basketball side is far better than what they've added football-wise, and anything that's out there in the potential of adding anything football-wise, it's really good. They have carved in and chose a path that makes them relevant in basketball. But also you got to look at it from the landscape of they are essentially trying to create a Big East West, right?
A Big West.
Already a conference, already exists. Did you even know that?
Is it an FCS conference?
No, it's a basketball only. They don't have football. It's where Hawaii plays all their other sports outside of football.
Oh, that's right. I should have known that.
It's like Long Beach State and...
That's right. The beach.
UC Irvine, Fullerton, all those schools.
That's That's on me. I should have known that. But, so then my question is, because you still have to add one more school that has a football program. And I'm all for, like, go get St. Mary's. Go get Grand Canyon. They've shown with St. Mary's over years and years and years that they can be a basketball power. Grand Canyon, they've shown that they can have success recruiting, especially with it's one of the cheaper schools, so you're able to get a lot more athletes in there. You're able to get a lot more walk-ons that way. Like, that's great. You still need that last football school. Where are you going to go and poach that team? Like, the Mountain West went in and grabbed UTEP. UTEP is not a football power, right? They're not a good football program. They're not a good basketball program, really. There's not a lot of success that's happened at UTEP. But they still grabbed that football school, so now they're over that threshold. So where does the Pac-12 go, and who can they grab that gets them into that Texas footprint? Because that's really what they want. They want to be able to be in Texas, have eyeballs from the Texas athletes and recruits. Who can you go grab from that state or from a neighboring state that you think would even be willing to jump, right now, because it feels like you would have thought UNLV would have been willing to make the jump, but they didn't. So then is it Texas State?
Do you go after
a team like that?
UTEP has been in conversations with the Mountain West. That's not really a great upgrade for the Mountain West, and it's...
I wouldn't say it's an upgrade.
Well, it's not.
It's a body. It's a warm body.
Yep.
So that
and that's
you
what Texas State would be, where you can go in and you can say, hey, welcome. I mean, there's the Sac State wanting to get into the Pac-12. Look, this is where the Pac-12 is at. Wherever you go from a football standpoint, as of right now, it's not good.
Right.
And it won't be a program that gets you to a power level. It really won't. And truly, like the only way that the Pac-12 would be able to do that, and this would even be a stretch, is if the ACC dissolves and you get Cal and Stanford back. But I don't know. I don't think that's even getting you to that level either. So, and as we're learning more and more, we're finding out that, all right, what the ACC's plan is they lose a couple, they're just going to backfill with the American Athletic Conference, which the American Athletic Conference is then going to try to go into the Mountain West and get schools like Air Force to come over and have all the academy schools. What we don't know what the future holds. What we do know right now is that Gonzaga is a good ad for this survival of the Pac-12, right? And
right.
We talked about this when all of this came about and all of the expansion conversations came about, right? The Pac-12 announcing the four Mountain West schools was still an awful idea, and it backfired on them tremendously.
It was too soon.
It was way too soon because they didn't have not just the handshake agreements, they didn't have anything in writing. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that before you go out, and you have to make sure you are on firm footing. And what they did was they allowed the Mountain West to come back over the top because of the poaching fees and say, okay, UNLV, Air Force, we need you to hold this thing together. And UNLV and Air Force are now in a win-win situation to where if they stay in the Mountain West, they're not the bad guys. They don't get accused of running for greener pastures and leaving everybody else to die. Sounds familiar from a couple of fan bases, right? So they don't have that going against them. And if they win the lawsuit, if the Mountain West wins the lawsuit, you know that they have the money to give you that $25, $30 million, right? Mm-hmm. You know where that's coming from. It's coming from the poaching fees. And they're telling you, yeah, this is going to come from those poaching fees. Now, if the Mountain West loses that lawsuit and the Pac-12 doesn't have to pay, well, then they UNLV says, deuces, we're going to the Pac-12. And everything is fine because the Pac-12 needs a football program. And UNLV right now is the most relevant football program remaining in a market that the Pac-12 wants to be in.
Right.
Vegas, right? So UNLV is in a win-win. Air Force, they know where they're going to go because they're going to go to the conference that Army and Navy are in. They're going to go to the American because the American is going, yeah, we'll take you because we know if the ACC starts losing members, where are they going to go? They're going to come to our backyard. Mm-hmm. So both of those schools, they won. They won. It was a win-win for those two because the Pac-12. And look, this wasn't the Pac-12 just being eager beaver and jumping up and saying, hey, we got four. We're going to announce it. Nah, they knew that something was coming down the pipeline. They had to acknowledge it, right? Mm-hmm. Or else it was just going to get leaked. And so they had to go, yep, we're adding four. And it put them in a really bad spot to land the other two that they needed.
Yeah. At the same time, though, well, I don't like what they did there, right? And they've put themselves in a bad spot and they've hurt themselves. I do appreciate that they have realized what they are going to be. There is no more illusions of getting back into being a Power Five. So how do you make yourself the big dog of the new pond that you swim in? You used to swim in the Power Five. You don't anymore. You swim in the Group of Five, Group of Six, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then go make yourself great at something and dominate something. And what the Pac-12 is trying to do is they're trying to dominate college basketball. And there's money in that. Text in here on the Vancouver Ford text line. Not as much money in the sport, but now you're a really good baseball conference as well. And that might be enough to keep Oregon State around, too.
Well, that keeps Oregon State baseball relevant, and that is huge for the Beavs in the long term. But, I mean, let's make something clear. as a whole, Oregon State is an anomaly in this. There's very few baseball programs that generate revenue. Oregon State is one of them. I mean, that's not where money is made. But to the point of where I think Oregon State fans are, is it gives you relevance in the baseball landscape. And you don't have to go out and play an independent schedule because, yes, Gonzaga does have a good, solid baseball program. Grand Canyon has been to, you know, the postseason and been to the baseball tournament. San Diego State has a rich tradition of good baseball being played down there. Like, those are all positives. And, look, celebrate the wins right now, because that is a win for the Pac-12, is that you're becoming more relevant in basketball. You're not just going to be a one-bid league, deuces, the WCC. That's what you became. You just became the MEAC, where the West Coast Conference champion is now going to be a 15 or 16 seed, and that's all you're getting, folks, because you're not going to get any credit for that. That's them's the breaks. That's where you are. But the reality of it is the Pac-12 is surviving on basketball right now. Football is the biggest money generator. You're a long ways away. You're going to need to win that lawsuit against the Mountain West and get those poaching fees back so UNLV comes your way, because that's not just a football program that is, albeit not a rich tradition. This is their best start since 1983, for God's sakes, when Randall Cunningham and Kenny Mayne were on the team. And Icky Woods on that team in 83.
Ooh, did not know
but
that.
But this is a athletic department that is pumping money in. It's in a sexy market in Vegas that's growing and is flashy, and you want to be there right now. You need UNLV, because the options are what we just talked about: Texas State, UTEP. You want to go to San Marcos and El Paso? No, you don't want to do that.
No,
you're gonna want to be in Vegas.
100%. Now, you still have to get a little luck to go your way, but I can appreciate that. I think this is the best that the Pac-12 could do. Like, once everyone left and it's just Oregon State and Washington State, this was the best that they could do to make themselves relevant and to make people care about them. It's not what Oregon State fans want. It's not what Washington State fans want. And there are going to be people that still kind of look at this and go, meh, like, who cares? But it's the best that you could do. The best that you could do was turn yourself into a basketball conference that is pretty decent at football. When it comes to the group of five conferences, you're a pretty darn good conference right now. Fresno State has had a lot of success. Obviously, Boise State, they've had a lot of success. Right now, they're the favorite to be the group of five team that gets in. Obviously, Washington State and Oregon State in this type of conference, they're going to take a step back recruiting-wise just because they have to. They're not a Power Five anymore, but they're going to be relevant. Now, you're not going to be as strong as you are in basketball, but if the Pac-12 is getting 3 to 4 schools in to the NCAA tournament every 2 or 3 years, right? Let's say most years you're getting 2. Some years you're getting 3 or 4. That's a lot of money that's still getting back into the conference that gets redistributed to everyone, and it keeps people talking about you. And that's all you can care about right now. You want to be talked about, and you put yourself at that table.
This is a text, and I wholeheartedly agree with it, and it needs to be said. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. Gonzaga doesn't do anything. It's not like the WCC has a major TV deal. That is true. I mean, Gonzaga does something.
It does.
But there is truth in that text. Gonzaga does not make this a $20 million a year TV deal.
Fair.
Doesn't do it. It means you are more relevant and you can tread water for a little longer, because, look, to anybody that wants to jump and say, well, now they're in a better basketball conference. They are, with San Diego State, right? This is not going to move the needle for TV broadcast partners. It just isn't. It truly is not.
Right.
And here is where Gonzaga is leveraging it and saying, well, we get a full share, and you guys play football and we don't? Okay, advantage us, because we don't have to fund a football program. And and have this deal that is not on par with the Power Four. And this is where I think when you were talking, Will, it just kept pinging in my brain there. Everything that we're talking about is the Pac-12 is making moves to be a Group of Five conference. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be a Power Four.
But you were never going to be one.
Never going to be one.
You were never going to be that. So be the best you can.
But I think in that, I think that needs to be reiterated because people are like, this is a zero move. No, it's not. Because in the Group of Five landscape, or Group of Six now, mm-hmm. in the Group of Six landscape, it is a big move to make sure that you do not get lapped by the other conferences that are in that Group of Six with you. You are bolstering your lot in life and saying, all right, are we now a better basketball conference than the MAC, the American, the Sun Belt? Yeah, I think you are, because you have had teams go to multiple Final Fours that are in your conference now.
Right.
When you, with the additions of San Diego State and Gonzaga. Yeah. And if you get another one of the two basketball schools that they're talking about with, you know, St. Mary's or Grand Canyon, then you get another competitive basketball program. Like, you are on more firm footing of the Group of Five. You're not the ACC. You're not the Big 12. But you know what? You're a damn good basketball conference. And that's where you want to be at. That's where they need to continue to position themselves and say, how do we stay as relevant as we possibly can? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Because you're not going to be the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, or the Big 12. You're not.
The expectations have to change. Yeah. And if you keep expecting the Pac-12 to be a Power 5, then you're going to continually be disappointed. Because there was no one that you were going to get, even if you got UNLV, that made you a Power 5 conference. Once everyone left, you were what you were. And that's a Group of Six conference. So go make the best of that situation. I remember I had a coach that had a conversation with me. Dusty, maybe you had the same thing as well back in high school, where I was upset. Like, I wanted to be a D1 kid. I wanted to be playing, you know, Mountain West football or playing Big Sky football. That was like kind of my dream, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember being upset that I didn't get that. And I had a coach pull me aside and just say, buddy, go make the big time where you're at. If you're at D2, go be the best D2 player that you can be. Right now, the Pac-12, you are a Group of Six conference. So go make the big time where you're at and go be the best Group of Six conference you can be. And right now, I feel like they're making moves to do that. They've had some mistakes. They've stepped on some rakes and gotten smacked in the face. But they're making the right moves.
Hey, Frosty Westring, legendary coach at Pacific Lutheran University. He literally wrote the book, Make the Big Time Where You're At. And that is it's phenomenal advice, and it does appear that that is what the Pac-12 is doing right now. All right, we do have an incredible victory lap that is happening on social media right now, because Gonzaga to the Pac-12 is not new news. Saw this one coming from a week away. We'll get to that next. First is Jeff Rust and his Three Amigos t-shirt. All right, one thing that is coming out of the Gonzaga to the Pac-12 landscape shift that we're seeing here is the fact that Brett McMurphy was right.
And he'll Brett let McMurphy you know he was.
He's letting everybody know how right he was. And I don't blame him for this, right? This is a guy who was a news broker in the biggest name in conference realignment on the first time around, right? Mm-hmm. And he got let go by ESPN. He's now with the Action Network, but still very locked in with all things conference realignment, right? On like a week ago, or on September 23rd, it was September 23rd, right?
Yes.
He tweeted out that Gonzaga is leaving the West Coast Conference to join the Pac-12, sources told Action Network. Pac-12 still needs a minimum of two football members by 2026, but Gonzaga, even without a football team, will receive a full conference revenue share in Pac-12, source said. He didn't just nail that Gonzaga was leaving. He nailed the part where Gonzaga gets a full revenue share. And
right.
Everybody in the news-breaking world, use my little air quotes, they said, not true, not accurate, you know, this isn't true. It 100% was true. 100%. And so now he is taking to Twitter and retweeting all of those people.
Yeah, it's beautiful. He got into a big argument with Nicole Arbach, where they were doing a lot of like, well, you were right, but at the time it wasn't fully confirmed. It was just linked to it. And he goes, oh, well, but I was right. But you weren't right exactly at that time. And whenever you get into like a semantics off or like, well, it wasn't technically right then, but now it's right. You know you've lost that war. I love it when someone wins and then they just get to be petty about it and they get to talk all the trash. It's like the same thing in football, sports in general. If you don't like it, the way that someone handles their victory, don't let them beat you. And he won this one, and now he's dancing on everyone's graves.
And he's getting a little feisty, too, because like On3 said ESPN reports, and he quote tweeted that. With Tri Action Network on September 23rd. And I'll give him credit. He did not back down.
No,
when everybody was telling me he was wrong, he's like, no, I stand by it. And I think this highlights kind of the greater conversation about the news breaking and the thirst for first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is you have got all of these newsbreakers, there's so much competition, and their employers all want them to be the first one to report it, right?
Right.
We know that. This is why the Pac-12 had to be proactive when the four schools from the Mountain West came out, because somebody was going to report it. Mm-hmm. Loose lips sink ships, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason why the Pac-12 was blindsided by USC and UCLA, then blindsided by Colorado, and then blindsided by Oregon and Washington, and then blindsided by everybody else leaving. It's because every other entity has their stuff locked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was kind of like out of nowhere, and then it's like, well, it's going to be in a couple of years. And
well, do you remember why it was out of nowhere? It was because it was at SEC Media Days, and Texas A&M did not want Texas to be in the SEC.
That's right.
So they came out, and they shook the boat, and they were like, yep, well, I guess it's out now, so we're going to have to do it, right? In the after that, from that moment on, everything just went hatches were closed on the SEC. And with the Pac-12, they knew that it was going to come out, so you had to do it. And they tried to suppress the Gonzaga news for as long as they could. But you know, Brett McMurphy knew about this on September 23rd,
right?
And every other university knew about it. And so this is why I also don't buy the fact that, like, in any of the conference realignment, we're so surprised that this happened. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Because everybody's talking. Everybody's talking, and everybody knows. Behind closed doors, we know when all this stuff is going to be happening at the university president level. Right?
Right. If you're surprised, it's because you're not listening on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Brett McMurphy, I'm really happy he gets to do this victory lap that he's going on. You know, he quote tweeted the Pac-12. What took so long? He's going back and forth with Nicole Auerbach on it's important to be both accurate and precise in news reporting, is what she said. And Brett McMurphy quote tweeted her with, is Mel Tucker firing official yet? And then why don't you go back to wishing college football coaches happy birthday and move on?
She's been going off on a subtweet storm at Brett McMurphy. It's so funny. I love it when journalists get petty with each other, because I feel like a lot of the times those newsbreakers, they try and give off this persona of like, we're above this, we're above that. And then when they actually go against each other, they're just like the rest of us. They get in the mud, they yell, they scream. It's great, dude. I love it. Get after it. And McMurphy should. I'll tell you what, right now, whenever that dude tweets anything or posts anything on X that has anything to do with conference realignment, like, that's my number one guy now. He's been right about everything. Name one thing that he has come out, I mean, at least within the last 5 to 6 months, that I've been like, he's wrong.
Well, I think this is where the boat gets rocked a little with McMurphy, is that he will be first to report guy.
But and, not good on facts guy?
Yeah. And sometimes he does whiff. Conference realignment, though, I'm with you. He's nailed it. And he has been nailing it for 13 years now, 14, 15 years on the conference realignment front. He's been really good. Huh?
I want to know who his mole is, because he's been nailing the Pac-12 stuff, and in that time, there have been three different conference commissioners. So who's giving him the deets?
Merton Hanks.
I have no idea who that guy is.
I have no idea.
Or lady. Oh, I thought you actually, I thought you were breaking news. I'm like, oh,
no,
Merton
Hanks. No, Merton Hanks used to work. Remember, he was brought in to be like the rules official for the Pac-12. Oh. You probably don't even remember who Merton Hanks is.
San Francisco Do you know who, 49er.
No, but Russ, don't ruin it. We need to ask Will.
He played football for the San Francisco 49ers.
No. What was he known for? Don't do this, Russ.
Having a stupid name. Who names their child Merton? That's a dumb name.
Dude, see, this is why you don't have as many willies. Like, this is why the willies aren't
growing.
Well,
I'm sorry that I offended the one person in the world whose name is Merton.
There's one guy named Merton listening right now is like, you know what? The hell with that Will guy.
No, there's no one named Merton. And I'm a teacher, and I see all kinds of crazy names. There is no one else in the world named Merton. His name sucks.
All right, Merton Hanks was a safety for the 49ers. What year were you born?
97.
Oh, God. Yep, October this is why 97. You don't know who Merton Hanks is. He was a safety for the 49ers in the mid-90s, and he was known for his aggressively long neck that he'd wear a sweatband on, and he'd do the Merton neck, like the head dance, where he would just bobble his head with his big old long neck.
He's your version of who's the long necked quarterback that played for the Bears forever?
Mike Glennon?
Yeah, Mike Glennon. He's your Mike Glennon? I can't even find Merton Hanks. I keep looking him up. He's not a real person.
You know, it's because you are obviously not spelling it correctly.
I just looked up long neck and Merton Hanks popped up. I swear to God.
Yeah, see?
His neck is uncomfortably long. Ooh, I have a comparison of him and Glennon on Reddit.
See?
Dude, his neck is way too big.
Well, hey, he could see the offense better, see the plays develop. Could see over it all. He was good. I love Merton Hanks, man. He was really good.
Human periscope.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, I know this guy. I've seen this highlight before where he's just like jiggling
the
his
dance.
Neck
yeah,
back
the old,
and
the
forth.
Old head rattle.
What a
yeah. So he was listed at 6'2". If he had like normal guy neck,
he'd be 6 foot.
Like 5'11"?
Dude, it's unsettling.
We're going 5'11"?
He's wearing a turtleneck, and I can still see like half of his neck.
Yeah, dude. Merton Hanks was a badass.
And then he
became Pac-12 rules official. Loved it.
Well, you can't be named Merton Hanks and be a badass.
Yes. Whoa.
No, no badass has ever been named Merton.
Obviously, you've never heard the Johnny Cash song, Boy Named Sue.
I have heard that song, and I love that song. I'm a boy named Sue. How do you do?
Yes.
Tonight you're going to die.
So why did he name his son Sue?
Because he had to toughen him up. Gave him a girl's name because he had to toughen him up. But
so
Merton isn't
saying
a girl's name.
I know,
no.
But
Merton is like an old-timey name.
Merton is also the name of somebody who gets shoved in a locker. So maybe it was to toughen him up. Maybe it's a family name. But maybe you're just poo-pooing on the whole Hanks family right now.
Well, his brother is named Tom. I think he's fine. Why does he have a stupid name like Merton?
They're not related.
I don't know. They have the same last name.
They're not.
His nephew is Chet.
the rapper. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that's talking Pac-12 and Brett McMurphy's victory lap. Pretty cool. Good for you. Good for you, Brett McMurphy, and good for you, Merton Hanks. Don't let Will Ortner
Pro Bowler Merton
get in
Hanks.
On this.
He was a Pro Bowler when I was born.
Yeah, you know what? Back when the Pro Bowl mattered, Will.
Then he was out of the league in 2 years. He was a Seahawk, former Seattle Seahawk great Merton Hanks.
Yeah,
I don't remember him on the Seahawks.
He was almost Defensive Player of the Year. He was an All-Pro a couple times. Good for Merton.
Yeah, what I see: 2-time first team and 2-time second team.
3-time second team, 1-time first team.
Mm.
Defensive right. player of the year, he lost to a guy named Bryce Pop.
Yeah, well, see? Merton Hanks, you're learning a lot. See, this is an educational period for you. I'm glad that we're going through this.
I'm right glad now. That I learned about the greatness that is Merton Hanks.
You need to learn more about him, if we're being quite honest here.
Well, I'm a big fan of his cousin, so why can't I be a big fan of him?
All right. This is a bad idea. Okay, hey.
Letting me go. That's a bad idea.
Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield, they had a little beef, maybe? Next on The Fan. Do we have Wrestling Wednesday music here on this Tuesday?
Oh, it is Tuesday, isn't it?
I was going to say, I just thought that you had the Ultimate Warrior going. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm for the Ultimate Warrior in the rotation. All for it.
If you do throw in DX, I've been chastised for about a year now on my hip thrust game. I will have to do it again for the camera. Mm. For the
I guess, yeah, I'm just so used to the to this being, on Wednesday.
Rust, I am going to need Will Ortner saying that he needs to have to thrust for the cameras. Please, we're going to need that.
I need to work on my hip thrust for the cameras.
You can,
I'm going to show you that I've been practicing.
Yeah, you can manipulate that as you see fit, but I'm going to need Will Ortner talking about hip thrusting for the camera. All right?
This is going so well for me today.
Yeah, it is. It's swimmingly. All right, Tom Brady and Baker Mayfield, they got a little bit of beef here. They got a little bit of beef going. They got a little beef. On Sunday, you had Brady on the call for the Eagles and Buccaneers game. And Tom Brady was confronted with the quotes from one Baker Mayfield. And this is what one, and Russ, you're going to have to place because I don't have access to it. This is what one Thomas Edward Brady, his reaction to Baker Mayfield's assessment of the new culture in Tampa.
Let's see here. Searching. I've got it here somewhere.
We got it.
There we go.
Said, quote, they wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun. It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth. So I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Feel the stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, as you were saying, go ahead. I feel like there's more in there to say.
There's a way to approach this game.
Yeah.
And it's that with the right mindset and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone. And great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
The competitive juice is still flowing.
It's still in there.
I love it.
No apologies.
I love Tom Brady for that. If I wanted to have fun, I'd go to Disneyland with my kids. By the way, there is no bad blood between the two of them. They were talked even before the game and after the game. Baker was just like, no, it's just two different ways to go about it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why Bill Belichick and Tom Brady worked though for two decades.
And that's
like that right there.
And that's why so few others can work with Bill, because I think more people are like Baker Mayfield. Like, I want to have fun playing the game, and I play my best when I'm having fun playing the game. Tom Brady is one of the few psychopaths, and Bill Belichick is another one, where they are at their best when they're angry all the time because they're striving for that Super Bowl, because that's the only thing that brings them joy. Baker going out and having a good game where they win on Sunday, that'll bring him joy. Tom Brady, the only thing he cared about was Super Bowl rings, and that's why you see that reaction.
Very awkward, though. Very awkward. You're just like, oh, all right, Kevin Burkhart might get murdered up here. Also, Brady saying, I thought winning Super Bowls was fun. Yeah. I mean, he's got a pretty good point there. And there's an element, though, that there's more than one way to do something, right?
Right.
It was, if you approach things, though, the way that Tom Brady approached them, you have got to be maniacal in it, and you have to have every single person buy into exactly what you were doing as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why he brought Gronk with him down to Tampa's, to have that guy that's like, no, guys, if we do this way, it will work. It's not just Tom saying it. We need buy-in for everybody. But then when Baker Mayfield comes through, he's like, that is very stressful, and that wears on people. It's no secret why, you know, they just cycled through. You know, everybody would make the joke like, oh, new tiny white Patriots wide receiver. There's a reason why they cycled through so many. It wasn't just because, you know, Wes Welker was bouncing his head off the turf every game. It was because it wears on guys to be in that system, to have that approach, and to do it every single day and with every single thing that you do. And so there was a lot of guys who cycled in and out of that culture that Brady and Belichick had in New England. And I don't think Baker Mayfield, like, this is to say, like, Baker Mayfield can't go and win a Super Bowl. BS. Patrick Mahomes has a lot of fun, mm-hmm. you know? Jared Goff has been to Super Bowl. He looks like he's having fun. You have to take it serious, and it's not like Baker Mayfield's a class clown here, but I think his approach is more human-friendly instead of, like, a dictator.
Right. Well, I think it's why you see in both Tom and Bill's departures from each other. Like, I know Tom was old. Tom wasn't going to last very long in Tampa Bay anyways. Like, he was there for, what, 3 years, 4 years? And in that time, Bruce Arians retired because Bruce Arians couldn't deal with him anymore, right? There were a lot of players that were there for the first Super Bowl for the first year, but after year two or three, they kind of leave and they go away. Yeah. There's a reason why a lot of the Patriot players that played for Bill, they'll talk about, like, yeah, man, it was great when we won Super Bowls. But when you weren't winning Super Bowls in New England, it was rough and it wasn't fun because that style can wear on people. I think that Jim Harbaugh, albeit a little bit more of a quirky kind of way, it's a similar style, right? Jim cares about winning and he's going to do everything that he can to win. Now, he does it in ways of like, we don't eat chicken because it's a scared bird. Oh, wait, there's 23 grams of protein for only 110 calories. Well, now we eat chicken again. We're back being pro chicken. I think that's why you see him only last for a few years in Stanford. He yep. only lasts for 8 to 10 in San Francisco, however long he was there. In Michigan, even at the very end, he was kind of overstaying his welcome. Now that he's in L.A., I bet you in 8 to 10 years, we're kind of saying the same thing about Jim of like, yeah, well, he wins a lot, but they're going to move on because everyone's sick of him. When you have this personality type, when you win, it's great. But mm-hmm. when you lose, everybody hates you.
All right, hour number two, we start with perfection on a Monday night. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.